Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, Washington, in the United States on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular metaphysical radio shows in the Seattle area and in the world, with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. On today's show, from now till about 2:15 to 2:20 p.m., I'll be talking about how my entire Galactic Wisdom Conference is now available on Crowdcast for just $50. I had my Galactic Wisdom Conference, my sixth annual one, last weekend in Olympia, Washington. And now, if you'd like to sign up, please go to my website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com and just click on the live stream button, and you can watch the entire conference. It's all there, and I hope you enjoy it. After that, from 2:20 to 3 p.m., I'll be playing an interview I had with Clifford Mahoney. He's a Zuni, a Native American elder from Arizona, who will be talking about UFOs, extraterrestrials, and Native Americans. He's a fascinating fellow. He showed me pictures where his ancestors would actually draw pictures, petroglyphs of extraterrestrials visiting his tribe. And he has so many interesting things to say. He's got a heart of gold, and I know you'll enjoy his interview. During the second hour, from 3 to 3:15 p.m., I'll be interviewing Emmanuel Eiter. Emmanuel's a good friend of mine. He's a famous French Hollywood spiritual movie director who will be talking about his spiritual films and how we can make this world a much better and happier place. Finally, during the rest of the hour, from 3:15 to 4, I'll be talking about positive things we can do to prevent and cure the coronavirus with Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, Anthony Federoco, a wonderful psychic from Los Angeles, and a psychic and aura reader, Carolyn White. Tom Palladino, I wanted to mention too, Tom Palladino has also been able to cure and prevent the coronavirus with his 30-day Scalar Energy Program, which we'll also be talking about during the second hour. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, and Minotti Lombardi for his wonderful support of the new Hopi Library. Also like to thank my wonderful friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, and Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who supported the program and helped me raise consciousness to make this world a better place. We're also looking for additional advertisers and sponsors for the show. Any advertising on this show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW, and Eric, of course, my program manager, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and I've extended my special, and the cost for a full one-hour reading is still just $50. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me on my cell at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I wanted to tell everybody I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, 2020, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we always meet Adama and the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth while we're there. We also experience many miracle healings. For example, my eyesight was restored to perfect crystal clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year after Adama and the people of Telos gave me a miracle healing. Others have been healed of Lyme's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and one lady several years ago was given a totally new pair of legs so she could walk again. If you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and you can call me at 509-750-9793. I have to tell you, both trips are filling up fast, so if you'd like to go, please let me know soon. I intend to keep the group a small group, and I hope you can go. In addition, in this year, from in May, from May 17th to June 5th of this year, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll also be visiting Cusco in the Sacred Valley, and an ancient Incas village called Ollantaytambo, which is a fascinating place. Pisac, another beautiful Indian village in the Sacred Valley, as well as Puno on Lake Titicaca, Amaramuro, which is a sacred spot at the southern end of Lake Titicaca, the Nazca Lines, and Paracas on the coast of Peru, which has a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. We'll also be meeting local India Inca shaman who will give healing sessions for those who want it, and side trips will be available to the Amazon jungle for those who'd like to see the jungle, as well as other archaeological sites near Nazca. The amazing thing about Amaramuro, when we were there, I was there in February, when we walked up to this, it's a stargate, and it's the side of a rock cliff, and there's actually a chair in the red sandstone of this cliff where people sit, and when you put your head on top of this chair, you can smell these beautiful flowers. There's no flowers around, but you can smell all these beautiful flowers. And what happened when we were there last time is that when we started walking up to this cliff, we could hear children singing to us. And we realized after a short time that those kids singing to us and young adults were not in this third dimension. They were instead from the fifth dimension of Agartha civilization from the Hollow Earth. And they were there greeting us to the Stargate. And then the next thing that happened, several of us put our hands on this Stargate. It's a chair at Amaramuro. And the rock literally started turning into jello. I kid you not. One of the people on my trip, a fellow named Tom from New Jersey, then looked into the rock and he could see Agartha, or the Hollow Earth, inside below the rock. So we're going back there at the end of May. For those of you who'd like to camp, we're going to try to camp there that night. You don't have to. There's a lot of nice hotels in the area as well. But I think we'll be going in physically into the Hollow Earth from that location. And so if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost for the trip is only $497, which includes free readings. Also, if the airfare right now down to Peru is fairly reasonable, $400 or $500 from the United States and Canada, I guarantee you'll have a time that's really out of this world. Other expenses in Peru are very reasonable. Our hotels will run probably between $7 a night to $30-$35 a night in a nice, clean hostel or hotel, and that often includes breakfast as well. So the costs are not very much, but I hope you can come. I just finished my sixth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference here in Olympia, Washington. And the vibrations, it's amazing. I've been doing this now for this is the sixth year I've done it. And every year the vibrations seem to get higher and higher from the people attending. And this year was no different. We had such beautiful people come, and many people watched the entire conference on Crowdcast during the conference because they didn't want to travel or they didn't feel comfortable getting out. And that's fine. We had people all over the world listening to the conference. And I checked with my friend, my technical person, Anthony. He's a wonderful fellow from Los Angeles who set it up for me. And all of the lectures are still available online. And it just costs $50. And if you'd like to visit the website and click on, just go. There's two sites you can go to, www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And there's a button, I think, toward the top of the landing page, which says click for live stream. You just click that and you just follow the links and you can sign up. There is also another way to get the same link is to go to crowdcast.io/e/Galactic Wisdom Conference. Either of those sites will lead you right there. Among the speakers you can listen are Simon Parks, famous ET contact from England, Michiko Hayashi, who's the director of the Moto Peace Project in Japan and a Hado Vibrational Water Healer, James Redfield, the famous author of The Celestine Prophecy, Alex Collier, who's a contactee with the Andromeda Galaxy, Bob Satayakam, wonderful man, who's a Puyallup tribal member. He talked about the sacredness of water. Tom Palladino, who's a scalar energy healer. And as I mentioned before, Tom has been able to prevent and heal people so far with the coronavirus. It's amazing. And he has a free 30-day trial right now. All you do is send your picture to his website, and you go to his website at www.scalarenergy.net, and we'll go into this. I'll repeat everything if you'd like to write it down, and send your picture in. It's a free 30-day trial, and it does help people. Eric Raines also spoke. He's a wonderful energy healer from Salem, Oregon. Billy and Zora from the Hollow Earth spoke. They're wonderful people with hearts of gold. They talked about the upcoming changes. And Anthony Federico, there are angel healers from Japan and Los Angeles, also spoke. They had some beautiful messages for all of us. Emmanuel Eiter, who will be coming on today's show, is a famous French Hollywood film director, and he spoke as well. Myself and Jason Armstrong gave a joint message with channel messages from Adama and the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth about Mount Shasta. A fabulous naturopathic doctor named Dr. June Shimizu from Bellevue, Washington, also spoke. He's what's considered an integrative medicine practitioner and a specialist in quantum medicine. He spoke along with Dr. Isabel Perez, who is a naturopathic dentist as well. And they both have a company called Global Healy, H-E-A-L-Y, in Seattle. And one of the things he talked about was exciting new remedies for autism. So anyway, I hope you can listen to that. Of course, my good friends, Carolyn and Jerry White, they're fantastic aura readers, also spoke, along with Professor Jerry Pollack. He's a world-famous water professor from the University of Washington, also gave a presentation. And I've taken some notes, and I'll share with you a few things that they said. Simon said, he said some interesting things about the coronavirus. He said that it was released in the Wuhan fish market last fall after a young man who worked at a virus lab for the Chinese government was trying to sell the virus to a cabal-related group. He dropped somehow this fellow dropped the vial that he had the virus in, and that's how it spread. There's quite a bit going on with the virus right now, but we'll go into that later in the program with Michiko and Anthony talking about that, and Carolyn as well, about positive things you can do to prevent the virus. And again, I wanted to mention that Tom Palladino has a free program right now to cure the virus, 30-day program. You go to www.scalarenergy.net, and you can send your picture into them. He has the equipment and machinery at his office, and he runs your picture through this machinery, and he's really been able to help people. Alex Collier is a wonderful fellow. He talked about some of his beautiful messages from his star family among from the Andromeda Galaxy. The Andromeda Galaxy is the next galaxy over from this Milky Way galaxy. They are human like us, except that they are in the fifth and sixth dimension, and they have light blue skin. And that's the reason why they have light blue skin is because their sun is blue. And it's different. It's a different kind of sun than we have here. But they're very loving and benevolent people. And he gave some wonderful messages from there. He said that we're well on the path for ascension. And we will ascend and create a much, much better planet. We just have to trust our heart and mind when making decisions and know that we are going to succeed. Michiko Hayashi, of course, has been on my program before. Her messages of love and gratitude are more important than ever, and as well as the messages from Dr. Masaru Emoto. She's part of the program as well. Billy and Zora from the Hollow Earth explained how the new Earth is coming and the bright, beautiful future, which we all have. And with that, I'd like to go to the next interview I did with Clifford Mahoney. He is a Zuni Indian elder. He talks about ETs, UFOs, and Native Americans from his firsthand experience of living in the Southwest. He's a fascinating fellow. And I hope you'll enjoy this interview. I'll come in at the end of this hour to wrap things up and then go off to our second hour. Thank you so much, my friends, for listening today, and I hope you'll enjoy Clifford's interview. Hello, friends. I'm here at Ocean Shores, Washington with Clifford Mahoney. He's a fascinating fellow with a lot of wisdom, and I'm so happy to interview you. Clifford, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
That's great. That's great. Now, you just gave a talk on UFOs and ETs and Native American wisdom.
It's. I'll let you take the lead because it's hard for me to know where to start. But you gave such a fascinating presentation, and I think the gist is that you summarized 65 years in an hour.
That's what I told the audience. Yes.
Yeah, that's what you were trying to do, and you did a very nice job in it too. But you showed many different pictographs and historical drawings of Native American art. And if you look at it one way, you can see that were these art objects that the pictographs that they drew were actually of astronauts coming to this planet. Could you tell me more about that, or tell my listeners more about that? Or
yes, our whole cultural system includes a lot of intervention by what we call the star people.
Okay,
they're the ones that set up the orders, the complex social systems, the medicine society systems, the connection with Mother Nature systems, just about everything that man has to deal with, mm-hmm. or modern man has to deal with in order to be in a balance mm-hmm. with the rest of the universe and especially with nature mm-hmm. on the planet. Mm-hmm. So these are practiced even to this day, even with the sophisticated preparations and the different modalities that they go through in order to go through the ceremonies, the rituals, and the meaning of what it's all about. Mm. It's a connection of the past, present, and the future of how we are supposed to be as determined by the intervention of what I and others call the star people.
I see. Okay. Okay, where do these star people come from? Is there one location or many different locations?
No, there are many, many different, I would say, galaxies. Mm-hmm. If not, there's now saying that there's different universes. Mm-hmm. But we have also come to a lot of scientific theory about how they travel nowadays. When you talk about wormholes and mm-hmm. folding of the universe, and especially the past, well, I would say in the last 200-300 years of different scientists, mm-hmm. and of late some of the biggest ones that have gone through, Einstein, Tesla, and others, mm-hmm. astrophysicists now has a course or at least a theory of how they used to travel, especially in the hard sciences. Mm-hmm. But the Indians have known that for thousands of years.
Sure, right.
In the Aboriginal tribes of the planet.
Right, right. You talked about the Pleiadians and the seven sisters of the seven stars of the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
Have they influenced the Zuni, you think?
Oh, absolutely. We have adopted their, modalities.
Okay.
Because, and also there are certain systems that are relevant to what their teachings were. Because it's a very, very complex composite of different ways and because each one is like a specialty group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the analogy that I make is about like a hospital staff. Mm-hmm. You got your different groups. You got your surgeons. You got your psychiatrists. You got your nurses. And you got your different specified groups mm-hmm. they run. And then if you want to switch over to the military side, mm-hmm. you know, you have the different forces that is combined to run an organization as the, what we have done with the NASA program. Uh-huh. And, of course, we are now in the secret space program, which are now in contact with the alien races, which will never be put out in the public.
Right.
And this has been going on for hundreds of years.
Wow, amazing.
And so we have known about the America, the Aboriginal tribes and American Indians have known about this for years, but who's going to listen to them? Mm. They were looked upon as savages, mm. and for the last 500 years when this nation was supposedly founded,
right.
I don't know why they founded it. It was always over here, and there were people here. Mm-hmm. So, but there's a lot of things that I talk about. I've done a lot of research. Mm-hmm. I talked to a lot of pretty top-notch scientists. And they're turning now. It's like a giant ship that's turning around. You know, it takes a big radius.
Turn this around,
and now they're accepting it. So we're going through a big phase right now, acceptance, and also to look at the knowledge that has been sort of put away or destroyed. But as I said in my lecture, anything that is true will never be destroyed.
True. It's just
as long as there's a flicker of flame or a flicker of knowledge, it'll grow back up again. So this is what we're looking at.
As you know, the planet now is going through a period of ascension.
Yes.
With the vibrations rising on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we'll be getting help from the benevolent extraterrestrials, or is that already underway now?
No, I think that if you saw my last slide, is that the star people are on standby.
I see.
So they have never, in the original setting up of the system, they were not supposed to interfere. And also that mankind... or the human advanced to where they have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why in my original statement about you have to go within yourself for the realization, we've always had that.
Oh.
But because of falsehoods like religion and all these things that were imposed by many, many different groups,
sure,
that they deviated from the truth. So now we're back on schedule again, or back on track anyway, about where do you look for the truth? And it's all within us.
Wow.
And now because of the advanced systems that we're going through, especially in the modern technology, what we're using now to record things.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, the power was only given by those, whether it's the organized religion, with the rich people or the evil forces, they had that information. They had it locked down for years, but now we're not going to put up with it. And the star people are those off-planet, in the term exopolitics comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been in contact, but it's just that they kept it quiet because of the control.
Oh, yeah, right.
So okay. Now we're breaking those bonds, and and so this, we're going to go into a very, very, starting this year. Well, it actually started about way back in the harmonic convergence period, way back in the 80s and the
90s.
And then 87, and then now we went into the 12, 12, 12. And it was not the end of the world, it was the end of an age and the thinking, because we're going into a multidimensional way of thinking.
Yeah.
And our DNA and our system and the whole, at least in our solar system, is turning around.
Mm-hmm.
And this talk about ascension and all this, they use the word loosely because nobody really can pin that down, what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I made a joke about it, about if you're not part of the 144,000,
mm-hmm,
you don't have a chance. But, you know, these are the things that were put in play some time back, and it's part of the organized religion.
I see. Interesting. Meant to control.
Yes,
and
it's control.
I see.
Three
okay.
things that are... Religion is an invention of man... for, first of all, fear,
okay,
control, and greed. The richest system in the world are the churches.
Yeah, I think you've got a...
The Vatican is the richest group in the world.
Sure, right.
But
right.
they still take money away from the poor people.
Yeah, ironically. Ironically.
Yep.
The people who need it most.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And so they're duped and they were given the false application.
Right.
I have nothing against religion because, you know, and I made a quote. It said, there's over 110,000 religions in the world.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is. I mean, It took a lot of research for me to find out.
So
that's where, we're going through a phase right now. We have a lot of catching up to do.
I wanted to ask you, the prophecy rock on the Hopi land in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They have like I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am.
Where it's one straight line goes, mm-hmm, where people live and learn to live in harmony with the planet, that they'll continue on and prosper. There's another line above it that zigzags.
Mm-hmm.
If people get out of balance, it zigzags and then it ends.
Yeah,
like civilization ends.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Zuni have a similar kind of prophecy?
Well,
for the future.
All we know is that if we do not continue to adopt what the our star ancestors told us mm-hmm. we'll be in collapse, in which we are right now. Mm-hmm. We are not anymore close to what we used to be even 100 years ago.
I see.
Because of the influence of external things. I remember in 1955, I was 10 years old, and one of the medicine men of the tribe was telling the group there, he said that there is no white man is going to come and destroy our system. It will be us that we destroy ourselves.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's happening. This was in 1955. That's over 60 years ago.
To ask us a dumb question, how is it happening? Is it from people from within who were educated outside?
Both.
I see.
When you have, if you look at this country, it was founded in the 1500 AD. Mm-hmm. The first contact with the Europeans were made by the tribe I belong to in 1540, the Spanish. The invasion of the Spanish, after they destroyed Mesoamerica, then they start moving up here. Mm-hmm. And after that, then we start having the European invasion. Prior to that, we had the Chinese that were here. 1250 BC, they were here.
Wow.
And the follow-up was made in 500 AD. And the reason that we know this is because the Chinese kept good records.
I see.
And then the petroglyphs, the American Indian petroglyphs, mm-hmm. right next to them are the Chinese petroglyphs.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
And the person that has done a lot of research, and I've met the gentleman, his name is John Rushkamp Jr. Mm-hmm. He's got a publication, I think he's on his second book. And I've been to those places where those petroglyphs are at. So the Zunis had a colony of Japanese about 6 miles from their village in the... And right before the Spanish invasion, which would probably be around 1400 AD.
They had a colony of Japanese. Who would come all the way across
all the
Pacific,
way across, yes.
And then come inland, I see.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you look at the sea routes, because of the original highway system in those days, they're ocean currents.
Sure, right.
And if you look at a good example is what happened about 20 or 30 years ago. Remember, they had a shipwreck. They had a shipwreck from Japan.
Uh-huh. Really?
And they had on the ship was thousands and pairs of tennis shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
It took many, many years, and they ended up in Northern California, where we're at.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Remember, it floated all around there?
Sure, I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Remember Thor Hall and, I mean, what's his name? Hardall. Mm-hmm. Thor Hardall.
Thor Hardall, yeah.
Kon-Tiki, remember, he proved that by his reed boats.
Wow, amazing.
And so we have that information. I mean, but... And then also that book is called The Zuni Enigma, the Colony of Japanese, and it was written by a lady by the name of Nancy Yaw Davis. I met the author. And it's got some good information, but I wanted to help her by putting in more information, but we never got a chance to really sit down. So I've read just about everything that I could get my hands on, including the oral history of not only of the Celts were here, the Vikings were here, Japanese, Chinese, and even way before then, the black people, which were the Omecs.
Omecs, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were the black.
They came from Africa.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Fascinating.
So it was deliberately not recorded in our history books because, again, of control. Mm-hmm. So my statement in this meeting is that you guys have been lied to. We've always been lied to.
Right.
So now the truth is going to come out.
Wow. Amazing.
And so that's my piece of thing that I'm doing.
Okay.
I mean, I've gotten into trouble, but that's okay.
Wait, what kind of trouble?
Well, I was
criticizing you for...
I was ostracized by my own tribe.
You're kidding
me. Yes.
Wow.
That's why I don't live there anymore.
Oh, okay.
So, and as late as last December 1, they actually kicked me out of a ritual. They told me to leave.
Really?
Yes. Because, and I'm in this high order system. They actually told me, you're not welcome here, get out.
Really?
And I asked him why. He said, because of the stuff that you put on YouTube. I said, there's nothing wrong with what I talked to. You heard my lecture.
No, it's totally interesting.
It's history. Yeah, I did not make those drawings. The Smithsonian did.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not make those rock drawings. The ancients did.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do anything. All I'm doing is that here's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. But so, interesting.
But it's but that's okay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because I'm a scholar. I'm a messenger.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And that's all I'm concerned about.
Sure. Sure.
So anyway.
So the are these the elders of the tribe who kicked you out, or the government, or who kicked you out?
Well, the government had a lot of influence on them. There's two groups that had influence: organized religion, the Catholic Church.
Okay.
A lot of those are generations back that are now in positions of power, if you want to call it that, in the very archaic spiritual systems that were trained by the Catholic people, and then now they're in power. And from the other side of it is the government, the federal government. They have given them the money. The old divide and conquer.
I see.
And because now they can get the money and influence from others. Every man has a price. I don't know what mine is.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I've never, I don't know what mine will be. Because
sure.
I am never, ever going to give that up to anything.
Right, right.
I don't care what money or anything. So this is what's happening in all Indian communities.
Mm. I see.
The government had a lot to do with it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And right now they're still doing it.
I was told, I moved down to the Hopi Reservation last year, and we were told that on every council there's at least one representative from the federal government, the Bureau of Indian Affairs,
yes,
to make sure that they come in line with federal government, what the federal government wants.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, it's good for the people there, but for the federal government.
Well, the reason is this. The Dawes Act that back in the 1800s, where they gave away all the land to non-Indians, and then right after that was what they call the IRA, stands for the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did up to this point is that they made many constitutional forms of government, and there's only one person out of the tribe that can meet with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and there's only one door in and one door out. And that door is guarded by the tribal chief, as in the case of Hopi, it's the president of the Hopi tribe. There's six mesas, but they're one government. In each one of them, you go to Navajo, they've got about at least 250,000 people.
Right.
There's only one person that the government can talk to, which is the chairman or the president of the tribe, and he's got full authority over 250,000 people.
A lot of people, yeah.
And not the 250,000 people don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
In my tribe, they went into the constitutional form of government in 1974, and all of these are secular government. Has absolutely nothing to do with spirituality.
I see.
About common sense, about family or nothing. It's all secular.
I see. Interesting. What do you think, going back to disclosure and ETs,
mm-hmm.
what do you see happening in the next 5 and 10 years? Do you think we're going to have full disclosure?
Not by the government. No.
Right. Okay.
This will be done by people like the people in this meeting right now.
Sure, right, yeah.
And remember when I made that thing about a realization. I'm tired of being lied to.
Right.
What can I do to help you?
Right, exactly.
Okay, now there's a lot of fake guys around here in this circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was with the Super Space Program. Oh, I was the inside guy in the Pentagon. I said, get rid of those guys. Let those people that really know what they're talking about
right.
be the spokespeople. And it has to be done with each one of us.
Right, right.
We can no longer live and listen to all the lies.
Right.
And you got to get educated, number one. And number two, you've got to take it for, you know, by yourself and take it head on.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I asked a question at my audience, what are you guys afraid of?
Right, right.
Because we have been pounded for so many years.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
I think it's going to happen pretty soon. But if you look at the political scene right now, look at the people that are running to be the leaders of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got nothing against people, but when you have these, there's an old man that's a communist, the other guy can't even remember what his city is in, I will not hire that guy to walk my dog.
Well, let me tell you a story that was told to me by Nostradamus, and he said that in the future, that big government, as presently constituted in the United States and other countries, well, we won't need it because people will know how to act as they ascend and spiritually advance. Yeah. And it's like a flock of birds or a group of animals, like a herd of deer. They know what to act. They know not to commit crime. They know not to hurt each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we will need a government, but it'll be a smaller government, but it'll be a government that'll interface between extraterrestrial civilizations beyond this planet and our own people here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot smaller than it is now. There'll still be a government, but its functions will be different. That's what he's told me, which is interesting. And it's written in my book. I'm going to give you a copy of it, by the way. It's called Messages from the Masters with messages from Nostradamus, Albert Einstein, and President Kennedy as well.
Oh, beautiful, yes.
Yeah, and it has a timeline.
Sign it, please?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It has a timeline on what would have happened had President Kennedy lived.
Well, you notice in my lecture.
Yeah.
I said everything went awry the day Kennedy got shot.
I picked up on that.
Yes.
And that's why I'm wearing my jacket now with the Kennedy button on it.
You know, I had a lot of theories on that. I still have a lot of theories on things. We knew about 9/11 before it happened.
Sure.
You know who told us?
No.
Star people.
Oh, really? Wow. That's amazing. How did they tell you? What way? Or how did you?
They go through a group effort. They go over there and they open up the Stargate and they come around and they tell you what's going to happen. I mean, they're not going to tell you. They're going to show you because ETs don't talk.
Right. Right. Well, let me ask you this.
Telepathically.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Would you like to share anything regarding any knowledge you may have of the future for us?
Well, all I can tell you is that the teachings of the Hopi and the Zunis, remember, if you listen to my lecture, they say we are at the end of the fourth world.
Okay.
We're going to go through what we call Bali Ascension.
Okay.
And we also have to go through, it's going to be a rebirth.
Okay.
And there's going to be an adjustment made within the DNA. And that's why they're sending in the Star Children.
Oh, okay.
There'll be the next wave that's going to do that. You know, they're super intelligent beings.
Yeah, wow, wow. And what do you make of this effort with vaccinations? Is that an attempt to stop our ascension?
It's always been going on since they founded this country.
Okay.
It's not only in the physical side of the vaccination,
right,
but also the ideologies that were implanted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look at the present politicians. They continue to force communism on us.
Right, right.
And when the people wake up one morning and they no longer have any rights.
Right, right.
But they got to wake up right now. And there's a lot of things that are trying to wake them up. But remember, I said we're still asleep. And one of the biggest things that will help mankind is education.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe because we were all lied to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even in high order physics and mathematics, some of them are no longer true.
Yeah, that's true.
It worked, but it wasn't true.
Right, right.
And if I had never participated in those things, I don't know what what it would be. But I have talked to a lot of different top-notch scientists and mathematicians, and then they have, like I say, it's like they're turning their ship around, a huge ocean liner.
Right.
It's now happening, but they're going to have to wait until that whole ship turns.
Wow.
Then they're going to go into the dirt, and they're going to hit it head on.
Wow.
It's not going to be done by the government.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
It's going to be done by the external forces that are waiting on standby, and they're going to also upgrade the human minds and the physiology, the DNA and all that, in order to meet those challenges.
Nice. President Kennedy has told me, I'm in contact with him, he said that the kinds of changes he tried to institute from the top down are now coming from the bottom up, from all of us here mm-hmm. on planet Earth. And that's why it's impossible for the negatives to stop this ascension. And the result of that, at the end of the day, when we've ascended into the fifth dimension in a very relatively short time, we won't need government. Like, we won't, the perception of having a big government will go out the door. We won't need it. Like you said, some of these politicians, you wouldn't want to go off and let them walk your dog.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, because people themselves know how to act,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to treat each other well and create a better planet. And we won't need the heavy-handed a social structure from the top down.
No.
Yeah.
One of the things that I put together at one of my addresses at a high school graduation was a concept of communalism.
I see.
And the offshoot of that is. Is the barter system.
I see. Okay.
And we were like that. The American Indian tribes were like that. There was no war between the nations.
I see.
Only when they came out that they created war.
I see.
So everything was in balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a huge country.
Sure.
Everything was there.
Yeah, right.
Why fight over something? All you have to do is go out there.
Right, exactly.
So I think this is what's going to happen, but in order to do that, you got to raise the consciousness.
Right.
You have to raise the consciousness, and you have to incorporate another way to increase the activity of our system to be connected.
Sure. Right.
The consciousness and also the physiology that is required to receive the signals that are going to be needed to have that type of society.
Right.
Now, it's taken me a lot. I've done a lot of, I guess, not so much research, but a lot of learning to come to those conclusions.
Okay. Mitch and I have been working on getting clean water to the whole
place. Yes.
And last year we raised over $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
There was a nice lady in Idaho named Teresa who donated $30,000 for clean water filters, so the mm-hmm. Hopi could drink clean water.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're working for the Navajo and also for the Hopi as well. Do you have clean water issues as well among
everywhere?
Okay. Would you like to get some help? Can we help you with that? No.
I've already done my time.
Okay.
I was a commissioned corps officer for the wastewater and water systems.
Oh, okay.
So I've had, as an engineer, you know, one of my specialties is water engineering.
Oh, okay.
And so I started out with EPA when there was only four books.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the idea is great. Theory, it works in theory.
I see. Yeah.
But when you actually apply it, then it's a different set of parameters.
Sure.
You have to constantly adjust, because what the government has done, and other donors, that private donors, that they have given, they, you know, this is one thing about government, they throw money at everything that's going to fix it. Uh-uh. You got to educate the people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And you can't do it because here's the reason why. I just told you about who actually runs the Indian tribes.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
You doing, okay, the biggest one right now is casinos.
I see.
Because the money is not going to the Indians.
Mm.
It's going to the casino mafia, the state government, the local governments, and then the mafia in the third world nations called Indian tribes that are run by the mafia characters. And what do the Indians get? They don't know. They just get a piddling. Scraps.
I see. I see.
So,
interesting.
I worked on those projects firsthand, so I know.
You see,
I can challenge
going on.
Anybody.
Uh-huh. Well, well, Clifford. If someone came to you on the street today and they asked you, Clifford, how do we make this world a better place? What would you tell them?
Educate.
Okay.
That's how I made it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If I never ever got an education, I won't be where I'm at looking from a perspective of, yes, it can be solved.
Right.
It can be done.
Right.
And I can do that.
Right, right.
With the proper people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
sure.
That's what it is. The foundation is the education because that's where everything works into that.
Interesting.
The past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Remember I said that. I covered those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know what?
No.
The ETs will help us. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that set up the systems.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd love some final comments from you, Clifford, to wrap up your wonderful interview today. You're welcome to talk about anything you like. Are there any subjects you'd like to talk about?
Well, the only thing that I would encourage is that in these meetings, we are leaving out the main group that should be here. Is the children.
I see.
Because my formal education started as a young person, even in my teen years. So if we can make a lot of these information gatherings to where they can at least set aside a day for the youth that are interested in that type of... Because there's a lot of kids that are interested in... And they're smart kids. And so I think that you gotta, when you look at the groups, I think you ought to include the future leaders or the future people that will be involved with this type of. When you and I are gone,
Yeah, that's true. The children are really the future.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's why. Children's book, right?
Yeah, right. This is. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But we don't have an. See, when we're talking about education, the United States education is a planned to fail people. Mm. It started in the 1970s. I've studied the education part of it for in different perspectives, you know, and that's what's going on right now.
I see.
Modern technology, all this stuff that they use is a number one. The thing is, that's a tool.
Right, right.
But now they make it as above, and so these little handheld calculators, computers, don't teach you how to think.
Yeah. One of the problems, of course, during the Obama administration was the Common Core system, which was implemented in 45 states. And as a result of that system, SAT test scores, college test scores, have dropped about 20-30% across the board, across the nation, straight across. Because the Common Core system eliminated most math and science classes, arts and arts classes as well. It replaced them with computer manuals glorifying Bill Gates and Microsoft. And so... It took away a lot of skills that students need that they're not getting now. So when they graduate from high school, they can't get into college, they can't find a good job, they're not educated, and except by maybe working in a fast food restaurant.
And your question?
Oh, my question. I guess that's another example of what's been happening.
Well,
what
you said
before, yeah.
Actually, it started way back in right after the Depression.
Okay.
There was these two guys. I can't remember the university.
Uh-huh.
But in the early 1960s, and I was in a class in sociology.
Okay.
And psychology, I believe. No, it was psychology. And there was an old guy that was, I made a term for him. It was called a Professor Emeritus. Professor Emeritus.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Dr. Dolph, and he talked about in the early 60s, when he talked about the new math.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
In the early 60s. That new math was invented right after the Depression.
I see.
And so it did not work, so they trashed it. And these people picked it up in 1960s, 1930s, 1960s. Mm-hmm. That generation from about 19 people that were born about 1962 to about 1967 is what they call a dumb generation because they use new math. The new math is way above differential equations. It's called set theory.
I see.
When you go through all the integral and differential calculus, you get into the ring theory and all that, and then you go into set theory. They were teaching preschoolers and up to maybe third grade the new math. That's high-order set theory.
I see.
So that's why they can understand it.
I see.
And
nobody
so,
could, yeah.
Because if they... And why do they need to have an education czar and let... In the old days, we had PTAs.
Mm-hmm.
The local school boards were the ones that determined it. When they start making... especially during the Obama years, you know, where he had a czar for everything.
Yeah, I know.
And so why we don't need those guys.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Because I was part of the systems. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even included in those systems because I was administrator then in those days. Mm-hmm. I said, this is not going to work.
Yeah, well.
But at that time, I was already pretty well versed in the education systems, both from extremes, the tribal systems, clear over into the engineering side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking the hard sciences.
Well, mm-hmm. Well.
So that's my idea.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, you do wonderful work, and you're such an inspiration. You have so much wisdom, and I appreciate you so much for coming on my show today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad to do that, Dave. Yeah. In the future, I'd be glad to help you out on some of your projects.
Okay, well, thank you, Clifford, so much again. You're a great man, and I'm so glad you could share your wisdom today.
Thank you.
Clifford, you were saying some fascinating things about the sacredness of water. Would you mind repeating those again?
Yes. In the American Indians, people at large, and especially among the Pueblo people, water is involved in every step of our life on the planet, from the day we're born to the day we die, in all the different steps that we go through in many different orders, societies, participation in religious, cultural, spiritual activities. Water is very important. The healing properties of water, the rituals that we go through on baptismals. When you participate in the ceremony, the aunties are the ones that take care of you. They all gather and they pray to the water first. Then they pray, and then and all it is about love and also the continuance of being together and never forget. And after you go, even when you die, your aunties wash you. The whole washing ceremony is done. And so when you go, and then after you die and you go into the next world, your duty is to be the bringer of rain.
Oh, wow.
That's where the Kachina people come into play.
You
become the Kachina people.
Sure. Wow.
You've seen drawings of, we go to Hopi.
Yeah.
It's all about water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Hopi out there in the middle of the desert, they'll have a report, for the next 2 months, we're not going to have any rain. They go out there and they manifest the rain by song, chants, prayers.
Right, by prayer.
Yeah. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, here comes the cloud. They have a big rain. By the time of the last dance, the sun comes up. How do they do that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's all prayer. It's all a connection.
Wow.
So this is, water is very, very sacred to all life, as we all know.
Dr. Emoto used to say, water is God.
Yes.
So water is everything. Water is the messenger of God.
Yes.
So that's why it is so sacred. It purifies everything, and it is within everything, even in DNA.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at Mother Earth. It's exactly the same proportion as the amount of body in the human.
Yeah.
So this, everything is sacred. It's all connected. It's so advanced scientifically, but at the same time, it is so simple.
You're right. It is simple to think about.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, friends. I hope you liked that interview with Clifford. He's a wonderful fellow, and he has a lot of beautiful wisdom. Our next guest will be Emmanuel Eiter, coming to us live from Hollywood. He's a famous French Hollywood film director who specializes in spiritual film. So please stay tuned while we go to the top of the hour, and we'll be talking to Emmanuel in just a few minutes. Thanks again so much for everyone for listening today.